Thank you, Chris. My name's Ron, compulsive overeater.
Ron.
And I know a few of you for a long, long time. I've been absent for 22 years. I've been at the pretty close to the same weight for that long, once I lost it. And I'm on my third sponsor. My first one relapsed, my second one passed away, and my third one is still kicking in Detroit. And I call that sponsor every single day for the last 22 years to tell my food plan. And when I first started out, my story starts with another drug. I was addicted to another substance, and I finally got clean when I was 33. But I was already I had gotten clean for a while before that, quite a few years before that, and I gained like 100 pounds in 6 months. I still work in construction, but I used to be a hands-on guy on these houses, and I would walk around. We'd be taping windows, and I kept looking at myself and going, "God, I'm getting so fat. I got to start working out." And so I started doing karate full time. And this is before any program that I had, because I thought I wasn't an addict. So because I stopped on my own for a while, but I gained so much weight, I just switched drugs. And I started doing karate full time, and I didn't know exercise bulimia was a problem, but I did karate until my ankles went out, and then I started, or no, that was before that. I started playing racquetball after that. I did that full time. I went to work, went and played racquetball, and came home and ate two pizzas. So I never really lost weight, and I exercised for years, and I rode this stationary bike for 6 years. And I went up 100 pounds and down 100 pounds and back up 100 pounds on the stationary bike every day I rode that thing. But it just, never dawned on me, or I never understood that, the only thing I had to do was eat less. And but I couldn't, I thought you had to exercise, and I just couldn't stop eating. And finally, I started using that drug again, the other drug, and I found eventually found this program, a 12-step program, and I was in that one for about 7 years when I was really struggling with my weight. I couldn't stop eating. Every night I would share in meetings that I'm not going to eat tonight, and this wasn't even an OA. And I would tell my sponsor, "Hey, what do I do about this? I can't stop eating. I've got heartburn all the time. My ankles are all messed up. I'm not feeling good, and I just can't stop eating." He said, "We'll just work the steps on it." And I tried, and it didn't work. And he didn't understand compulsive overeating because he was not one of us. And so he just said, "Work the steps on it." And then I met some people that, I knew people in this program that had suggested Overeaters Anonymous for me. And so I went to about six meetings that first year, and you guys had some cool stuff, and I grabbed it and went on my own and tried it, and I failed miserably. I didn't lose any weight. I didn't, I dieted, but it was always, we read more about compulsive overeating at our Thursday meeting, and there's a huge list of different diets and stomach stapling and shots and all sorts of stuff that. I didn't try all of them, but I tried quite a few of them. And diets work excellent if you follow them and you continue to follow them after you've decided you've finished. They'll work. But for me, I couldn't just diet and then continue that, lifestyle of eating. I just couldn't do it. So I was very miserable. And finally, at some point, I had surrendered. And I had this communique from one of the meetings that I went to, and there was a men's list of sponsors. And I went on that. This was 23 years ago now, I think. I went on that list, and I started calling this top man, second man, third man. And, I got no answers. I got a bunch of no's. And this one guy said, "Hey, let's meet for dinner tomorrow night, and then we can see what we can do." And I at that time, I'm like, "Why would I want to meet for dinner? I want to lose weight. I don't want to eat, gain weight." And he said, just meet me for dinner, and then we'll go to an OA meeting afterwards, and then we'll see if we can help you." And so I went to the first, I went to dinner with those guys, and I said, "What should I get on, what should I order?" And he goes, "Something on the menu." And I'm like, he was just like so simple. duh, order something on the menu. And I said, okay. So I ordered something on the menu. And then we went to the meeting. And after the meeting, it was up in LA or Culver City, I think it was, somewhere over there. But
15
after
minutes,
the
Ron.
meeting, what's that?
15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, 15 and 5.
Yeah, so that was 15.
What's that?
Yeah, so that was 15. You wanted me to tell you at 15?
That couldn't be 15. I just started.
What I mean is you've gone for 5 minutes, you're
Oh,
here
no, I wanted
for
15 and 5. Sorry. Sorry. 15 minutes, then give me a
four.
5-minute warning.
Okay, 5 minutes.
I'm like, what? I didn't share that much. Okay,
I'll
sorry
pause
about
you for a
that.
minute.
Sorry. Okay, anyway, so I met this sponsor, I met this guy, and he after the meeting, he asked me, a bunch of stuff, and he said, I want you to make a list with four categories, and it was dangerous foods, dangerous places, iffy foods, and iffy places. And by dangerous foods, he said anything that you compulsively overeat on, write it down. And then dangerous places, like some people have, like emotional responses to family get-togethers or problems with the places you go to eat whatever you want, those things. I forget what they're called right now. Anyway, gosh darn, I'm losing that name. Anyway, but big, fast food places, whatever. And he said, write them all down. And then iffy foods are places, things that you think you overeat on. And then iffy places are places that you think you might have a problem when you go to or you have when you do. So I went home and made a list, and he said, call me tomorrow at 7 o'clock, because he was an early riser and so was I. And he said, read me that list. So I went home and did that list, and I read it to him the next morning. And a lot of the stuff on the list was white sugar and white flour. And he said, yeah, it sounds like you have allergy to white sugar and white flour. A lot of people in this program, when they eat white sugar and white flour, when they're done eating, it makes you feel like you're not done and you're still hungry. So he said, what we're gonna do, he didn't say, what do you want to do? He said, here's what we're gonna do. He said, we're gonna put you on a food plan that eliminates the white flour and white sugar, and it'll be oatmeal for breakfast with a banana, and then a chicken meal at a chicken place that's the same for lunch and dinner. And it's a moderate amount of food. And the reason he's, I said, well, I don't do oatmeal. Can I do kashi cereal? Because I was already doing kashi cereal, and it's a no sugar, no flour cereal. And he said, yeah, you can do that. So I went to, he said, and follow this program today, follow this food plan today, and then call me tomorrow at 7. So I ate the kashi cereal. I did the chicken place. And the reason he told me to do it this way is because if you go to that chicken place and you ask for this certain meal, they put the food on your plate and you have nothing to do with it. You're just allowed to eat everything on the plate. But you have to be careful when you tell a sponsee they can eat everything on that plate, because I had a sponsee that ate every single thing on the plate, including the bone and the bone marrow and everything. So he polished off everything on the plate. So we are compulsive overeaters, and we do strange things sometimes. And so anyway, I did that, and I started losing weight again. I'd been 100 pounds heavier. I lost the 100 pounds on the stationary bike. I gained about 70 or 80 back. I call myself a 97 pounder. When I identify, I say I've lost 97 pounds, but it's been over 100, more than 100, but I've lost and gained much, much more than that. But so I started following this food plan. I called him in the next day and I said, okay, this is what I'm going to eat. And he said, well, okay, I want you to get a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and read a minimum of 5 pages a day, and write a paragraph on how that 5 pages that you read relates to your compulsive overeating. So I followed the food plan, and I did the reading and writing, and I called him in the morning and I read the writing. And he said, okay, I also want you to start making 2 outreach calls a day. And he said, the reason I want you to make outreach calls is because when you get, I don't know how many times, which is that I've actually experienced this when I first got clean in the other program. I would go to call somebody and I would pick up the phone and I would immediately say, oh, you know what? They don't really know what they don't really want to hear what I have to say. They're probably busy. And you know what? It's no problem. I can do this myself and then put the phone back down. So I talked myself out of using the phone before I even got the phone to my ear. And so many of us are like that. I was very insecure and self-conscious when I got here, and I certainly didn't want to call a stranger and ask them how they're doing or what I'm doing. But he said that, if you practice this every day, then it would help you in your staying abstinent, because my abstinence is not only my food plan, it's all the things that I do to help help me stay abstinent and follow that food plan. So I started calling people and I would say, hey, how's it going? Oh, good. How are you? Good. And we'd like go sit there all uncomfortable silence, and what am I going to do now? And, so it's okay if if you call somebody and they don't have much to say, because if their name's on the list, they want you to call them. They don't put their name on the list if they don't want you to call them. They put their name on the list because they do want you to call them. So don't be afraid to call somebody if you need to. But I got really good at calling people, and it made it really easy when I needed to call somebody when I was hurting, And, calling somebody might be when I'm thinking about, eating something off my food plan, or thinking about, eating tacos instead of Pollo Loco or chicken place, or eating, a steak and baked potato instead of this or that. And it could, that little phone call takes the power out of it sometimes, and it helps me stay abstinent. So I did that every day. And then after about 30 days, he goes, okay, now I want you to start sponsoring. And I'm like, I was shocked, because I'm like, what are you talking about sponsoring? I can't sponsor anybody. I've only been abstinent for 30 days. And he said, well, you've got more than somebody else coming in with one day, then, and you can help them. And you're already working, I haven't started working the steps yet, but you can at least talk to them and help them. And I said, okay. So I started reluctantly handing my number out, and nobody called. So I'm like, oh, this is easy. And then I handed my number out a bunch of times. And then finally I had like eight sponsees. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I gonna do, sponsor? And he goes, your higher power will help you with that. He'll work all that out for you. And I said, okay. And so I sponsored eight people for a couple of days, and then I had about three or four, and it was perfect, and some people have stayed absent the whole time and some haven't. And some people blame me for losing their abstinence, and some people won't talk to me after they lost their abstinence, and it wasn't my fault. I was just there to try to help, but I understand. So, I'm not a hater or anything like that. I'm okay if somebody hates me or something, or whatever the reason is, Because all I want to do is help you. And if you can, if you say you're abstinent, you're abstinent. And that's a good thing. But, when I sponsor people, I'm a little stricter. I kind of set up a food plan for them and help them and tell them, this is what you have to do. And, if you don't do it, then you relapse and then you start over. But keep calling. And, because that's what my sponsor did for me. And I worked all 12 steps with my sponsor, and then he relapsed. And by that time, it was, I think, maybe all the way into the second year, I think I got 2 years clean when he relapsed. But I finished the steps in the second year, and I was eating extra bites. I would go, sponsor, I'm having some extra bites with my meal. I wasn't having sugar and flour, but I was eating bigger meals. Pollo Loco, when they get to know you, they give you extra foods. So I'm like, oh, I'll just have that one bite, And I gained a little weight, and he said, oh, let me know when you gain this much weight. I gained this much weight. Okay, let me know. And it turned out that he was eating extra bites too, and then he ended up relapsing. And I said, oh my God, I got to stop doing this, or I'm going to, lose my abstinence. So I stopped doing that, and I kept on the abstinent, and I ended up calling my grand sponsor, and that's who ended up sponsoring me after that. And the sponsees were calling me, and I would tell them the same thing that, my sponsor told me to do, and it worked out really well. And after a certain amount of time, after many years, I've been going to the same meeting on Thursday night, Pizza Box, for 22 years, and It's live on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's a like a advertisement, but anyway, it's a great meeting. If you guys want to come and join us, there's always a seat open. But my life started getting better. I started making better decisions. I actually learned how to meditate in this program, because I every time I got to the I got I worked at 12 steps twice in that other program, and when I got to step 11, I would go, okay, close your eyes. Get everything out of your mind and meditate. And I would sit there, and 5 seconds later, there'd be 50,000 thoughts going through my head. And I'd open my eyes and close my eyes and open my eyes and close my eyes. And I just thought I was doing it wrong. So that first sponsor hired, we hired a transcendental meditation guy to show us how to meditate. And that guy said, he gave us a word, a secret word that you'll never know. I will only know. But he said that you need to just keep saying this word, and it's like a pendulum, and all these thoughts are going to come in your head. Your head is never empty. It's never going to be clear. You're always going to have thoughts coming in, but you can
Five more
either,
minutes, Ron.
thank you. Now that's where I'm talking about. Your thoughts are centered, and you'll keep coming back to the center. And that's what I've been doing ever since. So I've been meditating for about 20 years regularly, because I finally learned how to do it. So in the morning, I do 10 minutes of meditation. I read some just for today readings, and then I start my day. And my life is really good today. I've been on that other program working it, and in this one, I've been absent for 22 years, and I've stayed the same shape. And I've actually worn clothes out, which is the weirdest thing in the world. I've worn them so long that they wear out, because I didn't, go up or down. I used to have big pants, little pants, all the pants in between. Shirts, everything always fit differently, because I was always going up and down, and it was just ridiculous. And I believe that no matter what, if I left this program and didn't call people every day and talk to people every day and worked it really hard, that I would relapse, because on my own I'm helpless. Together, when I surrender, I'm helpful, and I'm not helpless. My higher power is working in my life. I've come to an understanding of a higher power that I can't explain, but I can definitely use it, when things are hitting the fan. Because even though I'm absent and I've lost all my weight and I've kept it off, my life still is up and down. People die, people go away, ex-wives still cause problems, not now, but used to. Stuff happens at work, and I even, every once in a while get irritated on the road, and I'm not that. It's kind of like anger was one of my biggest character defects, and it is, I'm not acting out on it like I used to. But every once in a while, sometimes when things are going wrong, or I just can't, get God to take it away, I might get angry. And I try not to do that, but today, when I know I did something wrong, or raised my voice, or had a bad tone, or something like that, I can make it an immediate amends and fix it. And today, the food is not as big of an issue as it used to be. I don't think I'll ever have that feeling of just being perfectly comfortable, because it always the thought of eating, instead of my regular plan, eating, something exotic or different always comes up. But the one thing that isn't in my life today is before I eat. For the longest time, many, many, many years, I always thought it wasn't going to be enough. But today I know it's going to be enough, because I've done it so long, and now it's a habit. It's a good habit to eat moderately, because I eat a lot of different foods today. I don't go set out to eat a lot of different foods, but like on a Wednesday night, I go out to a men's stag meeting, and after the meeting, these guys and these are all young guys, are all foodies, and they want to go to all these different places, and I can find an absent meal at any place. And they're always telling me, God, Ron, you do so good. You take, usually when you go to a restaurant, you can get like two leftovers out of a meal, because these things are so big, because everybody wants so much food. But if I had my choice, I'd go to the same restaurant every single Wednesday, but I'm not the guy that gets to choose, because I'm a creature of habit when it comes to food now. It's just like the same thing every day, same, same, same. And I like it. It's so easy, and my life is so good today. And I was a single dad for a long time, and my daughter has grown up, and we just had a, I say we, she had a child, and it's my grandchild. So I'm really grateful for that. And they live in Oklahoma, and they're in Esgrove on a house. And I'm just so proud of her, and that's one of the blessings that comes with this life. I'm not all freaking out all the time. She does remember me stealing her donuts out of the fridge because, she's older than my abstinence. So, but you know what? I'm so grateful for being absent, and thank you for allowing me to share.